Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And Tuesday has arrived. Thanks for being here and glad to have you along. Don't forget tomorrow, live from Nashville, where the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament gets underway tomorrow night. We'll preview it for you with many, many guests. Let's get started to this afternoon with some news out of Baton Rouge. And is this a shot across the bow at Nick Saban? Well, could be. Brian Kelly saying about the 9-game schedule, want to play the best. It was Nick Saban on Friday who told Ross Dellinger, don't know how they came up with this new setup, which includes LSU on the Tide's regular schedule. Meanwhile, back to basketball. Don't trust anyone. That could be for a lot of things, but in this case, it's a situation about the Pac-12. That quote is courtesy of Mike Trangisi, the famous Big East commissioner who is now an advisor to Greg Sankey. There's something I've learned about membership. Don't trust anyone. That picture is George Kliakoff, and right now nobody is really trusting what is going on in the Pac-12. Nick Saban, more from Dellinger on the Saban interview. In regard to NIL, players are going to go to school where they can make the most money. Nick Saban thinks they should go where they can get the most value. Saban said in that interview that he is speaking on a regular basis with Commissioner Sankey, William King of the SEC office, as well as Senators Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin. He grew up with Joe Manchin and, of course, Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn coach. Let's get right to the program today, and by now you've heard all the news about Anthony Richardson. We're going to find out what the local folks think of him, where he played ball. Pat Dooley joining us now, the legendary, and I mean absolutely legendary, sports writer from down there who has now moved on to the podcasting and radio world. Pat, it's always good to have you on. Thank you for the time. Are you as surprised as some people, or not surprised at all, that Anthony Richardson literally stole the show at the NFL Combine? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Great to talk to you, buddy. No, not surprised in the least. I mean, this is an unbelievable athlete. It's a freakish athlete. Like, I don't think we've seen at this position. I mean, I was here when Cam Newton was here, and he's a better athlete than him. Is he a great quarterback? I don't know. You know, I saw moments of him being a great quarterback last year, and there were other moments where all of a sudden, you know, he just didn't want to run the ball, and, you know, he wasn't a very accurate thrower. So I hope he does well. I mean, everybody wants him to succeed. Again, this, you talk about a local kid from Gainesville Eastside, but, you know, a lot of people were very upset with him last year. They thought he could have done better, but I will say this. We were talking about Tebow and versus on our radio show yesterday, Tebow versus Richardson. And a caller made a great point. I think Tebow I think Richardson is a better athlete than Tim Tebow, believe it or not. But obviously Tebow was a much better quarterback. However, Tebow had a lot better players around him. So I guess we're going to find out what Anthony Richardson is. I mean, we know he is one of the most incredible athletes we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I was with Dan Mullen a couple weeks ago. He said the same thing that you just got through saying. I've never seen anybody like him. And, of course, Dan Mullen coached Cam Newton and Tim Tebow, as everyone knows. And, I mean, I know what they were saying about him because, I mean, we literally landed down there about 2 years ago for the Alabama game, and that's all Tebow was talking about. You remember that, Pat. But
yeah.
I didn't see as many Florida games as you did, but I never quite saw it more than an occasional play, which makes you wonder about the is it the talent or is it his ability? Let me move on to the big story down there, which is beyond Anthony Richardson, and he will play somewhere. The question is, what are the Gators going to look like in Billy Napier's second season? The first season was a mess. We know that. The offseason's been a mess. What's next? Help us out here, Pat.
Yeah, that's again, another great question that I'm not sure everybody has an answer to. And you look at their schedule, I think their schedule this year is going to be harder than last year, which everybody said was one of the hardest schedules in the country. Because now you got to go to Utah, you got to go to South Carolina, where you got to go to Missouri where you never play well. So, you know, and obviously you still got to go to LSU. So it's a tough schedule. And we look at we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, obviously. I will say this, he has clearly got a plan, and that plan may take a little longer than a lot of fans wanted to, but he's sticking with the plan. And part of the plan was, you know, get better character guys in here and let the guys that are not buying in go. And I think he wanted to go a full year with this team and find out exactly what he had. And once he did, he went, okay, you, and you. If you want to stay, fine. But if you want to leave, I encourage you to. And he got rid of a lot of guys. Oh, wait, it started right after the Georgia game. If you remember, Brenton Cox was thrown off the team. So it's been a process of getting guys in that he wants. Now, are they going to be good enough to win games? We'll have to find out. Again, quarterback is going to be a big concern.
Pat, I realize this is a question for a rainy day, and it's sunny where I am right now. But
it is too here. I'm at a golf course, so there you go.
I'm glad to hear that. Can you win right now by going down the quality player route, like everyone would like to, but very few do?
That's a great question. I heard what you were talking about with Coach Saban, and I think Coach Saban's exactly right. Guys are going to go where the money is, and Florida certainly has had some issues with the NIL. I think they're getting it straightened out. I feel pretty confident in that, just what I know behind the scenes on the NIL. But in the end, you know, one reason their basketball team is one game over 500 is they didn't do well in the NIL. They did okay, but they didn't have enough money maybe to get some of the better players. So this is an issue that you've got to deal with. But the bottom line is you don't want to just go out and start buying guys that are talented but aren't necessarily the kind of guys you want in your program. And I don't know if that plan is going to work, Paul, to be honest with you. I don't know if we're going to bring in really good kids, guys that want to do it, guys that want to do it the right way. Is that going to work? I don't know. The 2018 that won the national championship had some characters on it. Not character, but characters on it. They had one great character, a person in Tim, but they also had some characters on that team, as you know.
Yeah, no, I've heard a few stories about that about that program. Pat, I want to talk about the fan base down there. You deal with them every day on your radio show. You've dealt with them throughout your newspaper career. I mean, from a little bit of a distance, this is one of the toughest groups to please that I think we have in college football. You talk patience, Napier talks patience, I'm sure the administration talks that, but assuming this season goes anywhere near the projections, which won't be very good, how much patience are they going to have, and how much is that going to trickle down?
You know, the funny thing is, Paul, I think people were all in on Napier until the Vanderbilt game, and that kind of set them off the wrong way. And they were like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to lose at Vanderbilt, okay? They lost that game. They played terrible in that game. It was an early game, but that's no excuse. And from that point on, and then, of course, we all know, we knew what was going to happen in the bowl game. No surprise at all. I mean, that was a really good team that they were playing, obviously, against. And all their guys showed up for it. So, so they're kind of a little bit, but then they were getting up, and then they didn't get some of the five stars they wanted. Then the whole Rashada thing happened. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I think fans, though, for the most part, want to see this guy succeed, and they believe that he has a plan. I think they've been more patient with him than any coach in the last post-Urban era, to be honest with you. But you know, like you said, I mean, I think 6-6 is probably what I would give them as a projection for this year. If that's the case, where are they going to be? You could end up with 3 straight 6-7 seasons. Obviously, the first one wasn't his fault, but you could end up with that. It's hard to believe that we can even talk about that with Florida football from where it was to where it is right now. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, Paul, doesn't matter what the fans think. Matters what the AD and the president think. We got a brand new president coming in here, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I mean, we all know Scott Strickland, and he's got a good reputation, although this is clearly his guy, as the last guy was clearly his guy. But you have a president who I will not call him a politician, because he's anything but that in terms of the way he operated in the Senate. What has been the early read on Senator Sass, now President Sass, and what impact will he have on any or all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually heard some good things, but again, I've not met the guy yet. But I've heard some good things about him, but obviously, it's a very split, as the entire country is, a very split fan base and student base. You know, there were protests for and against him, so because, you know, obviously, voted against Trump, but, you know, it wants to do some things that are a little different than what they think. It's going to be fascinating. We have no idea what's going to happen, where it's going to go from here. But I will say this. I've heard some good things. Actually, was with some people last night. I heard something that was really interesting about him in terms of just he does get it. He does understand. But, yeah, you mentioned Scott Strickland. Scott obviously put all the chips in the middle of the table with both these coaches, with Napier and with Todd Golden. And, he's obviously done some unbelievable stuff here already. The baseball stadium is incredible. I know Jeremy was behind the beginning of it, but Scott really made it, put the right touches on it. You know, what they've done with the facility, they've got everything. There's no excuses to lose around here anymore.
On that subject, Pat, before we wrap up, I know Mullen liked to talk about it privately, publicly a little bit, about some of the things that he inherited. Everything is great today, but why did it take so long for the University of Florida athletics? I mean, we're talking about the bell cow. If you go back 10 years in college athletics, they won everything, and there was no excuse for not winning everything. That was the standard. How did this happen? How did Florida suddenly go from winning back-to-back championships in basketball, winning football and basketball in the same calendar year, to where we are now?
Good question, which is a question I think a lot of us are constantly trying to answer. You know, I was just watching the thing last night, you know, with the Southern Hoops, and to relive those moments from 06 and 07 was incredible. You know, a lot of it with basketball has been coaching. You know, but again, they had a guy who went to 4 straight tournaments and they ran him out of town. Football wise, I just don't think they've made good hires. But how does Florida get behind? I think Jeremy Foley was a very big believer in people versus facilities. And he might have been a click behind on that, where he felt like if you could get good enough people in here to be coaches, people that really were going to do things the right way, you would be successful. And it worked for so long. It was an amazing run, and it still has been. I mean, they already won one SEC this year, and they'll probably win two or three in different sports. I know gymnastics won. But they just were a click behind on a lot of it, and that certainly allowed people to kind of fly by them. And that, there's no doubt about that. That the formula for what Florida was doing all of a sudden wasn't obsolete, but it didn't work as well. And then you had some disasters here, as you know, with McElwain and, you know, the whole thing with Mike White, who I like very much as a good person, but it just didn't work out there. And so they, you know, now they've gone with very young coaches who might be really good, but nobody really knows.
Well, you got plenty to talk about. Pat Dooley, always fantastic to speak to him, legendary writer and talk show host in the Gainesville area. We head to the break. More of your Your phone calls will join us. We'll have it in just a minute. We got some guests here. How about Gene Stallings? Legendary coach, won the national championship for Bama in 92, went to countless SEC championship games, in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rabelais, I'm sure he's in some Hall of Fame. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's take your phone calls, and we begin with Andre. How are you, Andre? Good to hear from you.
As always, good to hear from you too, Coach Feinbaum. What's going on with you, Coach?
Oh, we're doing great.
Well, that's good. The pollen's bad here in Atlanta, but it's warm. It's 82 today. But, you know, Coach, we really haven't had a bad winter here in Georgia.
Maybe, no, it's been great.
Maybe it's been great. Maybe 2 weeks of cold weather. When are you going to move the SEC network and the SEC headquarters where it belongs here in Atlanta, Coach?
You know, Andre, not up to me, of course, but I think Atlanta would be the optimum place to put everything. It's become really the unofficial capital of the SEC.
It may not be up to you, but doggone it, Coach, you the lead mule.
Well, I appreciate the kind words.
It's true.
If I could ever find anyone here who agrees with you, I'll be happy to share you the profits.
Coach, what's the latest word coming out the pack, Coach? What you think? I know that the Big 12 has been whispering in Arizona State, and Colorado, and Utah's ear. And I think they like what they're hearing, but what do you think, Coach?
I think right now the Pac-12 is literally at the precipice, and the next few weeks, months are going to determine. They're going to lose a couple of schools, and their replacements are not very good. They're talking about, SMU and San Diego State? I mean, you help me out here.
How does that enhance your league?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. What are they saying down there in the ACC land? Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and North Carolina want out. The girl has told the ACC she don't love them no more and she don't want them, but the ACC won't let them go, Coach.
No, I mean, this is, to go back into ancient times, this is like an arranged marriage. There's no way out.
It's a shotgun marriage.
Yeah, Florida State, Florida State came out and said the other day, we want out. I don't think there's any way out right now.
Hey, Coach, you tell Coach Saban, and I got much respect for Coach Saban, but money don't talk, it screams. Your mama can't pay her bills. And you playing at one school, and you could go somewhere else. Where you gonna go, Coach Feinbaum? You gonna follow the money?
Of course.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Andre, thank you. Always love talking to that guy. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. When did you become a coach? I've been doing all the research. I never saw you as a head coach. Now, I have something for you, Mr. Feinbaum. You need to edit some of those things like Paula's bracket. Let's get rid of Miss Faye. I don't give a damn who she is. I don't give a damn about the ladies. I don't give a damn about the gentlemen because I hate you Americans anyway. As a matter of fact, get rid of that jerk. Always jerk. AJ, get rid of him. Matt in San Antonio, get rid of him. Who's the other guy?
Hey, I have to, AC, I have to ask you about Matt,
yes, sir.
Matt from San Antonio. I mean, why are you always hating on him?
I hate everybody, not just one person, all of them. I said AJ, always a jerk. That's what I said, Mr. Feinbaum. I hate all of them. I love you. I love myself. But, Mr. Feinbaum, what did this caller do to deserve that honor to be in that bracket? It makes no sense. Why don't you put your name in there, Mr. Feinbaum? Come on, man. This is garbage.
Okay. Well, AC, I'm really not part of the bracket. I'm part of the group that helps pick the bracket.
Hey, Bernhardt, you know what? He needs to shut his stupid little mouth up, because last time he called your show, he said he's a pilot light pole. He was, crash and burn. So he can shut up. I'm not like him or other stupid callers who beg and plead to get on your bracket. I'm just trying. I'm sorry that I'm one of the best callers. He's some little loser and just shut his stupid pie hole up. Because you know what? You don't like me, I don't like you. Feeling's pretty much mutual, man. And Paul, I got a question I want to ask you about the Pac-12. You think the Pac-12 is going to dissolve completely? Or what's your thoughts? And everybody says they want 8-4 this year. What's your thoughts on that, brother?
Yeah, I don't think it will dissolve completely. I think it will lose a couple of schools and replace them with inferior teams or schools, I should say. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I had to pull off the road and go, right here in Tuscaloosa off the strip here. It has nothing to do with the basketball thing, by the way. It's the last caller. Love is what makes this world go around. I think about your mother, Paul. I know just me bringing her up, your heart has to maybe not skip a beat, but a lot of fond memories, Memphis, your mother, things
sure.
like that. I mean, you know, we could say we love Tennessee, graduated from there. Maybe you love steak and a potato is your favorite restaurant, but you get people over here saying, hey, you know, what we need in this world, and I'm not a pastor and not going to bring up any religious connotation here, but man, I want to tell you something. I love you, man. And you say, well, what do you mean? You don't really know me. I used to call you back when you were in Birmingham and all those days. But you're a good man. Last week, you took a couple cheap shots below the belt by people who don't have the kind of love that your mother had. And, you know, you're a product of your mom. And so just like my dad who passed away in 2009, you know, we're a product of the love that is given to us. And so kudos to you and to your mother today. And I know that he was just, I don't know if that guy really means what he says, but I mean what I say when I say I love you, man. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Thank you for what you do. And God bless you. And God bless your mother.
Mark, thank you for those kind words, and they're deeply appreciated. You be well. We'll take a short break. More to come. Long way to go until we wrap up. Coach Stallings in the next hour.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Cliff is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Cliff, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I got a question for you, and I got a comment I need to make to you, buddy. You got a minute?
Of course.
Hey, of all the living coaches right now, who would you think exemplifies, personifies Coach Bear Bryant?
Well, I know this is going to sound – I mean, you're talking about active coaches or just living coaches?
No, I'm just talking about living coaches.
Oh, well, that's a – Cliff, that's the easiest question. But I promise you, I'm not saying this because he's going to be here in 25 minutes, but it's Coach Stallings.
But you know what? You're exactly right. And if you think about it, instead of Gary Busey being the star of the movie for Coach Bryant – Coach Stallings, if he'd had a little probably coaching on the acting part there, he to me, he reminds me so much of Coach Bryant when you look at his demeanor and his voice and all that.
Cliff, I'll tell you a quick story. At Coach Stallings' introduction in 1990, I guess it was, Paul Bryant Jr. was on the front row or to the side, I think. And Coach Stallings was up there. And I could not help. I closed my eyes at one point and thought back 7.5, 8 years. And I was hearing the same man. As I was looking, opening my eyes, looking at Coach Bryant's son, it was one of the eeriest things I've ever seen. The only thing missing were was a shot of bourbon and a pack of Chesterfields.
If Coach Stallings smoked, I guarantee it'd probably be.
No, he acted like Coach. I mean, and again, we talked about it with him so many times, but you know, the story for those who don't know, and I realize not all of you know much about Coach Stallings, that he played for Coach Bryant.
He was a member of the Johnson Boys too.
He was part of that famous first class. He idolized Coach Stallings. And I'll tell this story now, but he could have replaced Coach Stallings, Coach Bryant. The job, when they called him for the interview, he was an assistant coach for Tom Landry at the Dallas Cowboys. Right. And he told them, I mean, this is the way Coach Stallings was and is. He said, listen, I can't take this job until the NFL season is over. And the Cowboys were in the playoffs. And that I don't know exactly. I mean, there's a million, even 40 years later, there's a million theories on what went down. But it knocked him out pretty quick. I talked to him the morning after Perkins was named, and he could barely speak. I mean, he really felt like or thought he had the job.
And he should have. But, you know, that to me, that's the class act that he is. And the last time you had him on, I just kept sitting there going, man, if I shut my eyes, I think I'm listening to Coach Bear Bryant. I swear. That's just kind of
well, you're
voice.
Right. But look, he was the son. He was the other son of Coach Bryant.
I agree. But I got one more comment for you. I want you to know that you have a twin out there, and the only problem is – the guy's is about 7 years older than you are, but if you played guitar and sang like he did, you'd be the identical twin, and that's James Taylor. And I'm telling you, get the boys to pull a picture up of James.
No, Cliff, I was in New York or Boston once, and I had somebody stop me. James Taylor is about very tall guy. I'm not, I will trade places with him any day, just to just to collect on the royalties.
Hey, Paul, thanks for your
time,
buddy.
Much. Wow, I'm just going to walk out there one night when he's on stage and see how long that lasts. Thank you for the call. Don is in Birmingham. Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay, Don.
I'm the other Don. I know this is a new Don that's been calling. I don't go quite far.
You're the original Don, though.
No, it's Don from downtown.
Well, we're talking about callers. That, we're talking about callers that we can understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of different things. I'm glad you're having Coach Stallings on. For some reason, my SEC Network feed just went out, so I was wanting to record that. So I'm disappointed. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about the first thing about Alabama football in relation to the upcoming Georgia challenge, as I see it, the progression of Georgia. I know I'm not as confident as folks like Legend. I mean, there's, I appreciate Legend's confidence and, you know, hey, you know, we're not going to be the Georgia, not the new Alabama and all this. But I do kind of get concerned when Coach Saban leaves who we're going to get and what the progression of the seasons will be at that point, the team. I know there's several good options out there potentially, but I do get myself concerned that there's not, you know, any particular one person that we can really look to. I wish there was somebody from the Alabama coaching tree that other than Dabo to look to. Georgia has this built-in coach. That's great, you know, Kirby. And I just wonder how that's going to go.
Don, I will tell you right now, it's a conversation that always comes up, and I know Greg Byrne will deny this, but I'd be shocked if he had not thought of this. You have to think about it. But there really isn't anyone that comes to mind right now.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. You know, Kiffin, Sarkisian. Some of these other guys that may be progressing, I don't know what's going to happen with Napier. You know, I actually one time thought the fellow out at Arkansas they had, you know, might be, you know, he's had a tough time this last season. Can't think of his name right now, but I was real impressed when you've had him on the show before. The other thing I was wanting to mention too is relating to the basketball situation. I really don't have a. I'm glad to see Alabama doing well. I don't have a lot of hopes that they're going to go real far in the overall tournament, the big tournament. I think they might could win this SEC tournament, but a lot of the distractions, playing on neutral floors without a huge crowd pulling against you, I think will help. But I have enjoyed the series of so far that I've seen that. And enjoyed seeing Wimp Sanderson and Sonny, a little bit of them sparring back and forth in the time period when they were around. I hated that CM Newton is not still with us. He was a really fine fellow along the lines, a little bit of Bart Starr. And one of the people I did not hear mentioned with Coach Dale Brown, that was has a history of with LSU was Joe Dean, the senior string music in Lexington,
yeah, well, Joe,
Kentucky.
Yeah, Joe passed away a couple of years. Yeah. I can't remember what year, Joe Dean, senior, I think is one of the most influential people. Not only from his ability, his talent as a player, which he was great, to his broadcasting skills, but. As really an ambassador for SEC basketball. He was one of the most prominent, he did such great work. In fact, Dale Brown, when he was here last week, credited Joe Dean for a lot of his success. We'll take a break. Coach Stallings coming up shortly. Your phone calls around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we've got an update. This is not official yet. The bracket doesn't come out till later. But right now on the one line, legend Jim Larry Iman. Iman is a very shaky one seed, we might add. This is late last four in, Dustin, Elliot, Todd, and then Chris after his takedown yesterday of Iman. Bubble Watch, Dan, Jerome, we haven't heard from in 2 years. AJ, Jeff, and the first person that has been completely eliminated, doesn't matter what happens now, he's out. That's AC from Canada. A lot of issues there. We've heard from the State Department. They're not letting him across the border. So he's out. Sorry about that. Ralph is in Louisiana. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We're doing great, thank you.
I had read or heard something somewhere, and I haven't done my research to be know if it's true, but talking about these teams in the ACC, I have heard that 8 teams from the ACC could get together and vote to dissolve the conference. Would that be some sort of a way that all of that could work out?
Well, that would probably be the only way, and I don't know the exact. I think they could dissolve that. I don't know if they can get around what's called the grant of rights, which means that they are they are on the hoof to ESPN for till another 11, 12 years. I'm not sure I understand. It has been explained to me the only way that you could even see some movement is to literally blow the whole conference up. So I think you're on the right track there.
Okay. Well, I was just – and those 8 better be sure they've got another conference to go to before they vote. I know that.
Well, let me assure you, I don't think there's 8 in the ACC that would find good homes.
No, I
can think of 4 that would have really good – that would be in great shape. I can think of another 3 or 4 that would be okay. But, let's just do the math out loud. I mean, after Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, and Clemson, what do you have? I mean, you have Louisville, which could find a home probably in the Big 12 – you have trying to think of the NC State could cobble something together. Who would want Georgia Tech?
That's true.
I mean, who would want? Well, Duke sounds great, but you're basically getting a basketball team, and that has been shown time and time again will not get you into a conference by itself. And then, you know, Wake Forest, does anyone really want Wake Forest? Boston College, Syracuse?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, they've got some problems. There may be some of them that may have to want to go down to the mid-majors would be my only thought on that.
Oh, they could all find a home, but it might be it wouldn't be in a gated community. I can tell you. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's. Tom is up next. Hey, Tom, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great. My concern is, or my beef is, because the usual certain amount of idiocy and coarse greed goes into the powers that be, you know, working on the SEC changes and the playoffs, too, for that matter. But I'll stick to the SEC. Instead of having rotating schedules and pods and all that nonsense, why don't they just do the simple and geographically correct thing? Move Auburn to the east. They play Georgia and Florida, their biggest rivalries. You got a seven-team division. Your other two teams of your nine SEC games, you pick up Alabama and LSU or Ole Miss, whoever you want for the other one. And then you move Texas and Oklahoma into the west. That puts eight teams in each division. They pick up Texas A&M and Arkansas, so they get their rivalries back. Everybody's good. Everybody plays their same divisions.
Yeah, I don't mean Tom, I don't mean to spoil the fun here, but the decision's already been made. I understand your point, but they are doing away with divisions. They're very likely going to nine games, and the rivals have already been picked. I mean, I don't want to dissuade anybody from offering expertise here, but as they say down in South Georgia, the hay's in the barn here. This one's going to happen. The legendary Gene Stallings is next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.